Oh, Davey's down to his last strike.
Golly.
Probably just send him home.
Three in a row?
Billy over there.
It's the only bumper we've had today.
That's correct. I mean, I know you like the song. I mean, you want the song to be Tennessee song, but...
But he's not even doing his job. The whole point is to find difference. You know, he's just... He's
right.
He's mailing it in on Friday.
Yeah.
It's Freedom Friday.
But no one's requested this.
It's not true.
Billy
bet
did the other day.
Bet it is. Bet it is
Billy
today.
Billy requested it on Wednesday. Ah, this segment's brought to you by Konki Digital, K-O-N-K-I, digital.com for all their services. And right now they're giving away that tailgate pack. You can register to win at foxsportsknoxville.com. Just click the banner ad and register absolutely free. Websites, branding, marketing automation, they got you covered at Konki Digital, K-O-N-K-I, digital.com. I mean, I'm just sick of Tennessee not fighting for this stuff.
I do wonder if it's a bad look to fight for it.
It's also, well, I mean, at some point, we've had so many bad looks. Does it even matter to tack another
Probably
one
not.
On?
Probably not. This is just proof that you hired a really dumb coach and kept him a year longer than you should have.
At least
he can't even get a job.
You know. Okay, let's be serious for a second. I would at least have my in-house counsel. My in-house counsel call Jimmy Sexton's office and be like, guys, what the F?
Yeah.
Like,
they might have done that.
They should. They should do it again after these quotes.
Or do you get more quotes? Well, I was going to say, John Akery over during the break sent me the letter that John Curry sent to Butch Jones that morning describing the details of his termination. And in part of that letter, there's a quote that reads, please note your obligation under Section 3.1.4 of the agreement, which is the buyout clause, including without limitation your obligation to use your reasonable best efforts to mitigate the university's obligation to pay liquidated damages by making reasonable and diligent efforts as soon as practicable following termination to obtain another comparable employment or paid services position. So the way it says or paid services position, Butch would be in the camp of making the argument that this is a paid services
position.
But
it's not comparable.
It is. I mean, I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying
yeah, they could
the
argue
way
it
it's
is.
Worded. Yeah.
But you could argue, I mean, you could argue it's not. It's not the same category
he could be
of
making
job.
More than $35,000 doing literally anything.
This is basically saying, okay, let's say I'm a school teacher and I get fired and I have this contract. Can I go be a janitor at a school? Like, that's basically, you know, it's like, well, I talk to the other teachers.
No, because I
tell them, you know, like.
I think the pay scale would be closer to a janitor and a teacher than it would be to assistant and
a
coach.
Absolutely would
and
be.
I think, the job itself is inconsequential. It's the money. Like, he could be making more than $35,000 a year doing anything, and he just has decided not to.
Yeah, what's the first part of that? Because I think everybody's focused on the last little bit, like you were there with the either or. But the first part where it talks about the compensation.
Right.
It doesn't say that he has an obligation to just try and get a job. It says he has an obligation to literally offset the money that Tennessee's paying him. Right? Can you just read it again?
Yeah, I'll just read the whole thing again.
Yes, please.
Please note your obligations under Section 3.1.4 of the agreement, including, without limitation, your obligation to use your reasonable best efforts to mitigate the university's obligation to pay liquidated damages.
Right there.
Yeah.
Stop. Read the last like seven words that you just read right there. I mean, don't actually
obligation
count.
To use your reasonable best efforts to mitigate the university's obligation to pay liquidated damages.
He's not
damages. Doing
he's not trying to mitigate Tennessee's unless ability
his,
to pay.
Unless his argument is, I'm going to do this and it's going to build me up to get a bigger, it's what Dave said earlier, a bigger, better job faster than it would be. Yeah, I could have taken a job somewhere else and made $250,000, but by staying here at Alabama an extra year, I could be in line for a million-plus job sooner
sure.
than I would be if I had taken another job.
He
but
would
then,
also
then
be able
you
to
gotta
point,
break it down.
He would also be able to point to former coaches that went to be under Nick Saban's role
yeah.
that then were able to get a better job afterwards.
Sure.
Because that's like the one school you can make that argument.
I would actually buy that argument if he had gone there for 1 year and left, and now he was like making $300,000 coaching somewhere, or making $150,000 as the lowest paid coach on somebody's staff. But like, I mean, you already had the Nick Saban rehab year. Like, why'd you need the second Nick Saban rehab year? Especially
because he didn't get the job he wanted.
But Nick Saban just said he had opportunities and he decided to stay here. So, I mean, I understand you could argue against it. And I understand these contracts, like, and I understand the bad look and all that stuff. But it just seems like Alabama is going to bend us over tomorrow on the football field.
He's going to smoke that stupid cigar.
And we're letting them take our lunch money and a lot of other money.
Our milkshake.
Right out of our pockets, too. Like, this is just, I'm tired of getting drugged. This is frustrating. Mm. We can't even fire our coach and hire one of their guys and get on a level playing field when it comes to the money.
In fairness, it is really hard for people to, like, hire him, I bet. There's kind of a lot.
It's true.
You know, I wouldn't hire him. But Rutgers should.
I mean,
Central Michigan could hire him back. They're not having a good year.
And to kind of get back on Davey's side,
McElwain, though, he's not
I'm sure Jimmy Sexton, one of his minions, is on the Butch Jones case. Because the more the coaches change jobs, the more Jimmy Sexton's firm gets paid, right? So I'm sure that someone over there is in charge of the Butch Jones file.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that if Tennessee did challenge this, whatever the due process is, I'm sure they would be ready to go to war.
Dunk all over it.
And would have all the documentation. They probably have, like, the written stuff Tennessee would need that you, I think, correctly pointed out would not be out there, like a formal job offer written down, which doesn't happen until it's, like, going to happen. They probably have the opposite actually written down. Like when he doesn't take the job at Maryland, Coach Loxley, do you mind sending us quick facts just saying that Butch Jones tried to get this job and that you decided to go in a different direction? Mm-hmm. We would really appreciate it. By the way, don't forget, we're trying to get you that next big job too. Because, you know, I don't know if he's a sexing guy, but that's the type of ways they can lean on keeping everybody happy.
Yeah.
And you got Nick Saban out here saying, oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah, love
it's
that.
It's all a sham. It's all baloney. It's all this delusional, like, John Curry, will it help us win graphics. It's just they're big money college football, pull the wool over your eyes, BS.
And then we get to play them tomorrow.
Right.
Neat.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get you so mad when I brought it up. You all right? I mean, it's not my money.
I haven't seen it, but have you guys ever seen a situation where something's gone to court and the coach has to pay because they did not do their best to mitigate the damages? I mean, that's pretty standard language.
There's been some, I mean, not exactly in this situation, but we know there's been situations where maybe going the other way, where they end up settling, right? Where it kind of it saves one side money, like with
but that's
like
usually...
McElwain kind of won the opposite argument against Florida. They tried to fire him with cause. They didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to pay him like this much. Mm-hmm. They go to court. They settle, and he gets this much.
Well, no, they didn't go to court. They settled that.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. They
I think he ended up getting almost all of it, though.
They threaten it to go to court, and so everybody settles, so that everybody ends up better off.
I mean, most of this stuff is usually done outside the courtroom,
right?
And without even having to do, like, mediation. So, and I mean, there's times, like, I mean, Mike Leach is still wanting his money from Texas Tech.
Yeah, why don't we should Texas Tech Butch Jones while he's not looking for a job.
Like I said, you can't throw the University of Tennessee.
Mike was fired for cause, too.
Well, that's our own dumb fault for not firing him with cause.
We should have exposed the world.
We would have
didn't
plenty.
Do anything.
You
wrong.
Know, if he did punch Matt Crowder, we should have done that.
Leach,
if he did,
talking about Mike. Yeah.
If he did cover up rape, we should have found that out. We should have just burned him at the stake.
And I know. Then,
they
were worried about what he might roll on, though, right?
And then it's not a bad look. You know, the next coach is like, "What's this deal with the Title IX thing?" Like, yeah, we had this guy named Butch Jones, and he
interfered
was awful.
With an investigation.
Yeah, he was a cancer, and here's all the reasons why. That's called effectively exposing your scapegoat. Like, that's big, big time PR. Like, that's how it works. You guys don't watch Succession on HBO, do you?
No.
No. I mean, that's it's like, I mean, hell, Jesse Simonton of VolQuest pointed out how, like, just tone deaf the PR was, even with Fulmer kind of backing up Pruitt in that weird way on VolQuest. Like, we still just don't do any of this right. Even to this day, we don't do the PR game right. I don't know. Will they ever figure it out? Probably not. Now we get to play them in football, as you mentioned. We'll come back. We'll hit on some of the big college football games from around the country coming up tomorrow. We'll get NFL later in the program as well. Lots to get to. It's a Football Friday edition of Three and Out. What the hell?
Are you high?
What? Oh, played it again, didn't I? All right, I'll stop it. Here we go. Is that better?
Yeah, I like this one.
There you go. All right.
Can this be our new third down song?
Can't use Lil Jon. Already tried.
Oh, yeah. Culture and stuff.
I mean, this is...
We can pay Butch Jones.
It's only minimal Lil Jon.
We can pay Butch Jones money every month for firing a guy who tried to expose a Title IX issue, but we can't play music from a guy who has...
To the Vol.
Lyrics walk. About stuff that people don't like. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure it's a
clean version.
I was humming over it just in case.
Jimmy requested play Get Low because it's going to be a low-scoring game.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Optimism Friday.
I like Get Low on third down for leverage. Reminds
You've
the players.
You've always said that.
Get
That's
low.
What I was going to say.
Get low.
More requests are coming in for Dixieland Delight.
Well, we are going to take it back. I guess that's one way to take it back is just
play the
bury
hell out
it
of
into it. We're going to get sick of it.
I was on the drive yesterday. And we had J Train call in, and he predicted that Tennessee would win 24-21. And I
Jabari
asked him,
Davis predicted a win over Alabama.
No, not that J Train.
Oh, different J Train.
Different J Train. And then when I asked him why, and he said because football. That's why.
It's a good answer.
Yeah.
Strong point. South Carolina won by 3.
Yeah.
2017. We win 24-21. I'd take it. Would you take 24-21 win right now, if offered?
I mean,
I'd get to the 30s.
I really prefer to win by more than a touchdown, but I guess I'd take it.
It's won by 10.
10, yeah.
It's like the net points. And that's if you win by 10, it's like a blowout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd really impress Vegas. We won by 10.
We'd probably make the tournament.
I think Pruitt would win National Coach of the Year if
Now you guys are coming around to Coach of the Year.
If they beat Bama and win out.
If they win out, including tomorrow.
How do you not get 8-4.
Yeah.
No, he
would deserve
definitely win it.
He
would 100% win it.
We'd probably make the playoffs if there was, 24 teams like in
FCS. Right. You'd
have such
SEC
a quality
East,
win. Yeah.
You'd beat Bama again probably. Yeah. Or an undefeated LSU.
LSU. I mean, think about all the quality wins on your resume.
You beat two number one seeded or number one ranked teams.
Quick question before you get to the phone lines. You have to give this answer quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather keep – we've all said – yesterday in the In the Break podcast, we all said that we would love an 8-team playoff. We were looking at the rankings, and 8 teams would be good this year.
Would
be good. You can't have the 8 team. Would you prefer – you have to pick one or the other. The current system of 4 – or the FCS system of 24.
Four.
Where 8 teams get the bye and all that kind
four.
Of stuff.
I'd rather have 4 than 24.
8 teams get the bye, the 16 play, then you have round of 16, round of 8.
4.
I'd go 4 as well.
4.
4?
I'd rather just like 6. Power 5 and then one.
At large.
Yeah. They don't have to be from a non-Power 5 conference. It's just the
so like
Power 5
year,
and then the most deserving
Wisconsin
other team.
Wisconsin would probably be your number 6. Seed.
Well, it depends on how it plays
Wisconsin
out.
Over Ohio
I mean,
State
yeah,
right
I was going to
well,
say
right
that.
Now, though.
Yeah. I mean, I know Ohio State's blasting everybody, but Wisconsin has played a much tougher schedule and won in very impressive fashion.
I'm just saying, if it ended right now.
Yeah, if it ended today, yeah, Wisconsin probably.
Or LSU. Oh.
LSU would be ahead of Wisconsin in mine right now.
I don't know. I think I'd rather have the 24 if I had to pick. The playoff games would be incredible, first of all. And then you would have these situations in a separate world, where you beat Georgia State and you beat BYU, like, there'd be lots of seasons where halfway through the year you'd be thinking, golly, if we can win this one tough game.
It would be three extra weekends of meaningful football.
Is that too many games, though?
Well,
You'd have to add the double bye week for everybody, and then
do they play one less game? Am I crazy, or do they play 12 games and then the FCS teams?
Oh, I don't know. And then I don't know.
It's not really that many more games.
I mean, Appalachia State would make the playoff in your scenario.
That'd be incredible, right? I would love it.
I mean, maybe.
I would love it. Who would they play?
You said the top eight seeds get a bye?
Top eight seeds get a bye.
What are they ranked?
Plays 24.
It'd be Florida and Appy State.
I'd be okay with that. I'd sign up for that one.
Georgia, Iowa.
Ugh.
Auburn, Missouri.
They got a bowl game.
Good point by Davey. Good point. We'd have to drop everybody one rung.
Yeah, so it'd be Georgia, Appy State.
We just played that last year, 2 years ago.
It would make some of the big games during the season have less meaning. Like, you know, when Ohio State plays.
But they wouldn't have as much meaning, but you also wouldn't have fan bases checking out after one loss. You wouldn't be ready to fire a coach after one loss.
That's my counter argument. The middle of the
Georgia
season.
Georgia fans would be livid, but they'd still be saying, okay, it's okay, we'll fix it, we'll get in the playoff, we're not gonna have as good a seeding now, but this is good. You could use like the Calipari, like, yeah, we lost before the tournament to really focus the guy.
Like an 8-4 team would still technically have a chance.
And the debate on who gets in and who gets out would be...
It'd be the same debate we have now and the same debate we have with the BCS, but it would be with the 25th and 24th.
Well, lots more teams, yeah. I think a handful of teams instead of like two or three teams.
Yeah.
It certainly helps the SEC West.
Yeah.
Like A&M.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody in the SEC West outside of Alabama would be for it.
Yeah.
It's like we can lose Alabama.
Now we can get in. Yeah. We have a chance.
That's why I would think Tennessee fans would be for it, because if you do start to turn things around, I don't know. If I had to pick, I still think 8 would be the way to go, because 8 is a balance between the two. 8 still makes that loss, Georgia-South Carolina loss, just a nightmare for Georgia, because it could be the one that keeps you out. Whereas if you had 24, they're probably still getting in.
Mm-hmm.
But 8 gives us that extra couple games. Let's go to the phone lines, next door home group hotline, and grab Tennessee Tom.
TNT!
What's up, buddy?
Hey, morning, fellas.
Morning, Tom.
Hey, listen, guys. First of all, I'm going to give a shout-out to my boy Blackbeard. He listens to y'all every morning at work. Man, he'd like to meet y'all. I need to get some autographs for him so he can hang up in his shop. He thinks that much of you guys.
Poor guy. If he wants our
autograph, that's what I've been telling him. he's hurting for some friends.
Oh man, yeah. Try to soften that blow for when he actually does finally meet us there. TNT, yeah. We appreciate it.
Hey guys, first off, y'all put something on the whiteboard for me. Take about 5 minutes because TNT is about to crack out his wallet and he's going to play a little money. This South Carolina and Florida game.
Okay.
I think the line was 5 that I. Called and checked about. I don't know if it's changed yet or not.
Yeah, I've seen it at 4.5 to 5.5, TNT.
Okay, and I was just wondering if y'all could take a few minutes, let a man listen to you and see what you think. Four heads are better than one. And if y'all could put that on the whiteboard for me and kind of break that down a little bit, I'd appreciate it.
Are you leaning one way or the other, TNT?
I'm going Florida.
Okay.
But, you know, I just don't think – and I was talking to another guy at work, but I just don't think, I don't think South Carolina's got another game in them after that one. Florida played – I mean, they're both going to be pretty exhausted, so it's just kind of a toss-up right now. I'm just trying to get some ideas, but I'm looking at laying it down on Florida.
Gotcha.
Guys, put that on the whiteboard. I appreciate it.
We'll do it. 10-4. Thanks, TNT. Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, I'm
and shouts out to Blackbeard as well.
There you go. Biggest fan.
Radio high five to you. If you really want our autograph, though,
did he just move up the top 37 to number one?
Blackbeard?
Yeah, wanting autographs.
Ooh.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. It's kind of. I got asked for my autograph one time when I was in college.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I was in the media guide. And there are some people who want everybody in the media guide to sign their picture.
Oh, gotcha. So it's like the yearbook kind
of. Yeah. I said, Hags, have a great summer. I'm kidding about the Hags part. But he walks up to me. He's like, you're Houston Crest. And I was like, I am. He's like, I need your autograph. I was like, good one. He's like, no.
You didn't
he's
write
like,
it in a circle.
He's like, no. Seriously, can you sign my media guy? You know, I was like, just like, this is weird.
I'm the clown that signed your media guy upside down or something.
No, I didn't. I just signed my name. It was very awkward.
Getting back to Florida, South Carolina, the South Carolina.
We're gonna get there. We just signed autographs for a second. Shout out to Blackbeard.
Yeah.
Double shout out from TNT.
He might be up
and
to number three. I don't know. I think Janeway like got the 37 thing going.
Mm.
So I think he's at number one right now.
We got a lot, man. Like Mitchell listens every day in Nebraska.
Maggie's number Doty's two right there. Now. Maggie Doty's at number two. Blackbeard making a push for three though.
Jen, Shawnee, Troy. I mean, we got a lot. We got
We need to post. Maybe it's time. It's the playoff rankings are coming out soon.
I don't really want to rank them because then there's going to be debate and they might. Oh, if I'm not even a top 10 listener on your, I'm just going to stop listening.
Well, they have to bring the debate to us.
I think it's a good conversation to have. It's kind of like getting in the tournament or not. I mean,
it might be really awkward for someone if we find out there are more than 37 people who want to be on the list. It's gonna be a really awkward moment for somebody out there
who just had their 37th birthday a while back, but everyone thought he was 40.
Ryan Helinski will be playing, so that's a go. Will Muschamp said he's fine. He'll start the game and he'll play well.
I don't know about the last part.
I think that bodes well for Florida.
I'm more interested in the Florida defensive linemen. Are they Zuniga back? What about the his last name starts with a G? What's the guy's name? He came from Louisville.
Grenard.
Yeah.
Like he had an ankle. If those guys are playing TNT, then I'm with you on the Florida love. It is at South Carolina. I do think South Carolina will be able to slow down Florida's run game. Everybody seems to be able to do that.
Except LSU and Auburn somehow.
Well,
it
was mainly that big run.
If P. Ryan pops an 88-yarder on you, you've messed up. That was a really good call by Mullen, though.
They didn't run the ball in LSU.
Didn't he have a couple big runs?
No.
Am I crazy?
I don't think so.
I'm also on Florida, too, because they know they can't drop another SEC game and still win the SEC East. Even with
South Carolina is at home, but I tend to like those two lines of thinking also. And what TNT said. Like, you talk about exhausting yourself mentally and physically and emotionally.
I mean, I
with
feel
a
like
win
this
in
line,
Athens.
I feel like this line should be like 7.5 for Florida.
I think it's probably higher than that. I don't.
I mean, it's on the wrong side of the touchdown.
In fairness, last year. And to give credit where it's due to South Carolina, they were up huge in the swamp until Felipe Franks, woke up and then started going absolutely berserk in the second half and then shushed his own crowd who was booing him earlier in the game. But I don't think I know South Carolina does not have the offensive firepower that LSU does. In fact, I'm wondering if anyone outside of Alabama and the SEC can come close. I was surprised to see because I think LSU's defense is, they're talented, they're good. They're not, again, it's kind of like Alabama, they're not what they have been. I would lean Florida in this game. I'm not telling, TNT, if you're listening still, I hope you are. I'm not telling you where to put your money, but for me, I like the fact, and you guys pointed out, Florida, they just went and fought an emotional, physical game in the Bayou. I don't think they're that bad. I mean, the fact that they hung with LSU, who I think is pretty daggum good, it was impressive. I know LSU covers there late at the end with the touchdown, but Florida had their opportunities. Florida had chances to be in that game and make it a lot closer and even win it. I'm with you. I'll try to look that up during the break and look at the defensive line and the injuries and stuff. If my Gainesville contingent is listening, any inside info will be greatly appreciated.
And
got to make TNT some money.
We've talked about Florida's receiving core.
They're stacked.
It's definitely top three in the SEC. South Carolina's secondary is not very good.
And don't we feel like Trask
is better?
He's better than Franks, but don't we feel like he would be willing to be patient where Fromm maybe wouldn't? It seems like he likes the underneath throws. He doesn't feel like he has to force it down the field. He's smart. He reads well. The question is, can South Carolina's defensive line get the same kind of pressure and push, And I just don't know if they can do that 2 weeks in a row.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. If South Carolina's the path for South Carolina to win or cover, at least, is for their defensive line to dominate the Florida offensive line. That is possible. Now, the opposite is not true. Like, My fear, if I'm putting money on Florida, is that their defensive line's so banged up that South Carolina's offensive line holds up well enough where they run the ball enough, they stay on the field, they hit some passes, and that, you know, it turns into a close game, and then obviously you're risking losing the bet there. But if Florida's defensive line is good to go, you know, good to go, which I'm sure, like he said, they're both exhausted. I'm sure they're both teams are a little beat up, but I mean, Florida should win this game and should cover. P. Ryan against LSU had 17 carries for 65 yards, so he was 3.8. Okay. They never ripped off runs that turned into points in that game. They just gotcha. They couldn't get it going. They kept talking about it over and over. Dan Mullen said, just like the Auburn game, we want to keep running the football even when we're not having success, because late, that's when it might, you know, might pay off for us, and it just didn't. Never did. And obviously the main problem is they couldn't stop LSU.
Well, remember we talked about Georgia ran the ball against South Carolina. Mm-hmm. They just got bored with it a few times and then turned it over. So Florida, you know, if you're Dan Mullen, like that game plan that worked against Auburn and didn't work against LSU, I think it works against South Carolina. And then if you can do that, you might force them to bring the fifth and sixth guy into the box. That's going to open things up for Trask. And then to Billy's point, that's a really good group of receivers, a much better group of receivers than Georgia has. If that offensive line can hold up a little bit, I like Dan Mullen and the Gators in this one. I'm working on an injury report for the Gator defense, though.
You could argue that Florida actually ran it worse against Auburn's front, which is
they just Auburn's popped the big really one. Yeah. That's the thing.
Without the 88-yard run, they had 44 yards rushing on 32 carries.
Woo!
Yeah, they stuck with it. They kept trying, but yeah. Well, Trask had some bad sack yards too, so you could bump that up another 20, 30 yards. But still, I mean, still crazy. Crazy numbers there. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. It's hour two. Three and out. Welcome back into the truly hard seltzer studios of Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Watch Party tomorrow night for Tennessee, Alabama.
Elkmont Exchange.
It'll be a great time out there at the Elkmont Exchange. It's not really the Elkmont Exchange. I don't know why I said that.
I don't know either. 745 North Broadway. It's the one that is all the wood on the outside.
Right.
Very
it's the brewery
good carpentry
house.
Work.
Mm-hmm.
Burgers are fantastic.
The brew pub. That's the category. Brew pub.
Brew pub.
Yeah.
Tons of seating. Tons of TVs. Probably going to give us the back room again. We're set.
Elkmont Exchange. Welcome. Adventure. It's great.
It's going to be an adventure tomorrow night.
Ah, there you go.
Boom. Yeah. Real quick, following up for TNT. We all kind of sided with the Gators. No Grenard. No Zuniga. On the defensive line.
Whew.
For Florida. They also might be without one of the starting offensive tackles, but apparently the backup's been playing a little bit better anyway. And this is the scary part. Mid-50s, windy, pouring rain the whole day. Tropical storm.
Wow. Who does that help?
I mean,
a lot of people always say rain helps the offense. You know, like the receivers can cut a little better. But there's a sliding scale, right? Like a little rain, some wetness on the field does, I think, help the offense with the cutting and stuff. But then there's this like range. Like if the weather gets so bad, then it just becomes a like who knows what.
Did you watch the Notre Dame NC State game? Like.
Oh, a couple of years ago, that was
in the hurricane.
Oh my gosh,
that was bad. See, that's the thing. Whenever it comes to, if I know the weather's going to be bad, I usually just try to stay away from that game, just because can happen, you can't really go with a good judgment based off what you've seen so far in the season.
The thing is, though, the rain and the weather will take away home field advantage for South Carolina. Like the crowd's not going to be as into it. People might not go, so it's not going to be the loud, wild, crazy celebrate the win over Georgia environment that they might normally
get. That is one of the games we'll be picking later on at the end of the show. But I mean, as far as like actually putting money where the mouth is, I might just stay away from that one. TNT.
The high is 63.
Oh, okay.
So
is it still saying rain all day though?
Yeah, 100% chance of rain.
I don't believe
what
we mentioned
that
this
game. Noon.
I'll find it real quick.
It says wind 9 miles an hour.
It's looking
gusty.
Less likely that it will rain for the Tennessee Alabama game.
Okay.
Which I honestly was kind of hoping it would, just because I think that might just slow down
anything weird.
Yeah,
would be
slow
good
down
for
Alabama's
us, right?
passing attack.
Do we know Tua's hand size?
John Akery went to the Notre Dame NC State game. He did. I remember tweeting about that.
Why? The rain was coming in sideways. There was 2 inches of water on the field. Who was the quarterback for Notre Dame in that one? I just remember every time he tried to throw, I don't think the ball spiraled. It was like knuckleball.
Was it Kaiser?
It might have been DeShone Kaiser, yeah.
I think Finley was the quarterback for NC State at the time. I don't know. John can let us know on that one, but I believe it was
Florida, South Carolina noon kickoff there. Tickets as low as $32. FYI. Lowest ticket price in the SEC this week, Missouri at Alabama, $4.
Alabama tickets say as low as 30.
30.
Wait, what? You said Missouri at?
Vanderbilt.
Okay.
That makes sense.
What did I say?
You said Alabama.
Sorry. Missouri at Vanderbilt,
You were about to $4. Say Alabama in your next sentence. Yeah. So I could,
Missouri at Vanderbilt, $4.
I believe that Tennessee had 8,000 tickets for this game against Alabama and only used 2,000.
Great.
Sounds about right. We're saving it for South Carolina. We're going to pack the place.
All right. Save up your money.
So what would you – I mean, I know we got to pick it later, so maybe – I don't. But TNT did ask us to spitball. The fact that Florida's not going to have two of their defensive linemen.
I'm still
going to
lean Florida.
I think I would too.
I'm thinking Florida. I do worry, though, if those linemen aren't – I mean –
But their backups
South
are still
Carolina
pretty
didn't
damn
even
good.
Didn't even really score because of this. But
no, I know.
In the second half, they were able to rip off some 8 and 9 yard runs that just got first downs and kept. I mean, hell, they did one. They hit one of those plays in overtime, in the second overtime, and then almost won them the football game. Like Dowdle, I mean, they're running that GT
sneaky good year for
double pull play against Georgia's front and ripping off some pretty decent runs. And we know Georgia's front is going to be. I would say Georgia's front is better than a Florida front without those two players.
I would agree.
But I don't know, maybe. But yeah, I'm leaning. I'm kind of with TNT. I'm leaning Florida. I don't know, though, with the weather. It's definitely not a slam dunk. But I have thought from the moment that line came out that it was too tight.
Now, the over-under for that game, I believe, is around 49 points right now. I'd be very tempted to take the under on that.
That would seem like a safer bet than the 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if that weather's going to move in.
Like I'd be more worried about getting beat on the over with, like, random, defensive
fumble,
touchdowns.
Like the Missouri-South Carolina game a couple years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. Weird stuff happening.
That was weird.
But, I mean, like, that game ends.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
The rain came in, and it was just like Missouri fell to pieces.
Yep.
They were dominating that game. And then you know what happened? Small hands lock, started throwing picks and fumbling the ball.
Small hand lock. You hate to see it.
He hurt his hand this year. Did you see that earlier? Yeah. You know why? Small.
Small.
Weak.
Not tough enough.
Not tough.
A little more fatty tissue.
Now,
fingers.
I want mechanic hands on my quarterback. I need those things to look like he's holding a handful of bananas.
Mm.
Just big old fingers. Jamarcus Russell, huge hands. When he held that football, it looked like me holding a Nerf ball.
Yeah, it worked out for him.
I'm just saying, he could throw it. I'm talking about neck down. I could throw it 85 yards. He could throw a field goal on his knees from the 50, Billy.
You know, we're a big-handed show here. Like, we have big hands for our height.
What was I, 9.5?
I don't remember.
Or 9.75.
Mine were like higher than the – or like – larger than the average guy at the combine for quarterbacks, and I'm 5'9".
And I have way bigger hands than you. Little hand.
I mean,
little
coach,
hand Nate.
Coaching my, the
you want to measure your hands come draft time?
I don't think they're big. They're just wide.
What? No, that's the key.
That's where you want them.
Here. Maybe we have wide hands. Maybe that's a better way of putting
it. That's normal for my pinky. I can't get it any closer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can you throw football really pretty good?
Accurate, not long.
How are you in a wet ball drill? You fumble a lot?
I don't use the laces ever.
Okay.
Really?
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Who was the quarterback for South Carolina a few years back?
Was it Garcia?
No, it was after Garcia.
Was it Shaw?
No.
After Garcia?
It might have been before.
I mean, they had a guy a long time ago. That
big guy.
Like Dondrell Pinkins?
Might have been Pinkins.
Yeah.
Might have been Pinkins.
Corey Jenkins, Dondrell Pinkins, that era?
Never threw with the laces. Unbelievable. This might have been during Lou Holtz day.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a shot of Kyle Trask they used in the LSU game where he's throwing the ball without the
laces. Well, sometimes if you catch a shotgun snap stuff. And it's the quick stuff, you just catch it and wing it out there.
Yeah.
I throw a prettier ball.
We're going to have to put Billy's arm to the test. I have a gun.
Well, I don't got a rain man cold.
I've been trying on new...
Whose name was that again? Remember that? We said anytime we needed to do someone's name, we were just going to play that?
Hank T.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that was it. It was.
But I've been trying on new baseball gloves, and they all feel like small. It's weird. I don't know.
Got to go up in size.
I guess so.
Bigger glove, easier to catch.
Well, there's infield, they're outfield. It's a whole thing.
Catcher's mitt.
Southland band playing rock guitar. Final segment, hour two. It's brought to you by Robin Porter, State Farm Agency, right here in Knoxville. Car, home, umbrella, boat insurance. They got you covered.
Yes, they do.
Robin Porter, State Farm Agency, 4806 Washington Pike. Give Robin and her team a call, and they'll get you set up.
Got the deal done yesterday on the boat insurance. They beat everybody else by like 80% and more coverage.
Glad to hear it.
It was...
I'm looking forward.
I would have been an idiot to not sign that thing.
I'm looking forward to doing that maneuver of that video you saw.
I got to work on that yacht. Yeah. That was like a police boat. Have you seen that?
No.
It was. I thought he was going to crash.
I did too.
That's what I thought.
The guy's barreling in like 50 miles an hour with a big police like cruiser, yeah. And then just slams the reverse and spins the boat. Just parallel parks that bad boy right up against the dock. Unbelievable.
Give Rob.
I
got to
learn
call.
That one.
865-546-0668. 546-0668. I'm kind of, I don't know, that Florida-South Carolina game is intriguing, especially since we're picking it with our gambling picks. It's at noon. There's, I don't know, I mean, there's some other kind of sneaky good games, but it feels like a pretty empty weekend of football. I mean, I'm sure some stuff will happen. Your team, your Penn State Nittany Lions.
They got a big one.
Got the whiteout at 7:30 on ABC. That's, you know, the game of the weekend. And Utah hosts Arizona State in the Pac-12. That game's on Pac-12 Network, though.
Yeah.
I don't even think I get that.
Not many people do.
I tricked the Pac-12 app somehow last year in a big game Washington State was playing in. Like it, I don't know. I did like the free trial, and it was counting down from 10 minutes. And somehow I got to glitch up to where the countdown froze, but the game kept playing. And then, like, I needed to do some other stuff with my phone, but I didn't want to change off because I was afraid I'd lose the game.
Pac-12 has two top 25 matchups this weekend.
Yeah, all the good matchups are in the Pac-12 this weekend. Go figure.
You got Oregon versus Washington.
Do you know Oregon has not allowed more than 10 points a game since the Auburn game?
That's why I thought they would win.
They should have beat